Welcome to a distant future full of possibilities, where the enigmatic Florvans are humanity's alien best friends, and their gift of the quantum space drive allows starships to slip through the veiled dimension they call the Strange, as they visit distant planets and stars. Come along with the astral navigators and their Florvan counterparts as they explore the galaxy and build friendships that will change the course of history. The Strange is calling you. Welcome, friend-shaped entities, to episode 8 of the Strange Space Adventures podcast. I'm Katie Silverwings, author of the award-winning series of cozy, optimistic science fiction stories this podcast brings to you each week. I'm thrilled to be here with you in audio form to share the tales of strange space. This week, we have two more chapters from my debut novella, Feathered Friendship. Our chapters this week focus on Bernadette's family and her upcoming presentation to the Florvan Council of Elders. Stick around after the chapters for two special announcements. Without any further delay, here's this week's installment of Feathered Friendship, a Strange Space Novella. Chapter 16. MSS Venture's first port of call upon entering Sol's planetary system is the Galileo Orbital Complex, a veritable metropolis of a space station floating on the outer edge of Saturn's rings. The largest such marvel of engineering and architecture yet built by humans, the complex is the primary hub of activity for ships which travel between Earth and the system's outermost settlements, as well as one of the major stops for many interstellar voyages. In the sitting area in her little family's quarters, Dr. Salzar Newman is pacing back and forth across the full length of the space, muttering quietly to herself. The ship's three resident Florvan kittens, still mostly silver-furred, follow her in a remarkably orderly scampered line. The kitten's parent is currently in their own small chamber off of the main family space, changing out of their uniform and into their seldom-worn ceremonial robes in preparation for an upcoming session of the Florvan Council of Elders. Their navigator, meanwhile, is sitting on the couch, reading over a lengthy document the ship's protocol officer has just delivered, this being the source of Dr. Salzar Newman's impulse towards agitated pacing. "So then, I suppose we can cross Saturn off the list, too?" Zoe shakes her head. "Another round of forms and paperwork awaits us to try for Mars next." "I don't understand why this is so difficult." Dr. Salzar Newman lets out a groan of frustration. "I've gotten every officer on this ship to sign the affidavits by this point. What more do I have to do?" "Well, love, I'm sure Lieutenant Timms will get it all sorted eventually. It's not every new-to-the-biz protocol officer who gets to be the one establishing a legal precedent, you know." "If he can establish it. Granted, it's just as bad even trying to publish my research on the project, and yes, I know that's all so heavily redacted at this point. It might as well just be a big black box with, 'No, really, I swear there was science involved,' written in the footnotes." "Now, Airy." Dr. Salzar Newman makes a sweeping dramatic gesture with both hands as she continues. "But it's secret science that no one will ever be allowed to repeat, and you have to be cleared by the Florvan Elders to know any of the details. I swear I'm actually a good scientist. I kept notes that I can't show anyone. And then a picture of our sweet little Bernie holding a sign that says, 'My mother is not a mad scientist. She takes notes.'" Having said this, Dr. Salzar Neumann makes a disgusted face and flops down to the floor in an equally dramatic fashion, stretching out and staring up at the ceiling. The three kittens take the opportunity to scamper up on top of her and sit on her chest as if they've just conquered an island for their territory. The kitten, whose bare patches are the lightest blue of the three, nuzzles against her cheek with a commiserating sort of a trilling squeak. Dr. Salzar Neumann sighs and occupies her nervous energy with giving the kittens some well-deserved cuddling. "I know you're frustrated, love, but getting worked up about it isn't going to do you much good. Or Bernie, for that matter." Zoe shakes her head and makes a small gesture as she sets down the datapad. One of the kittens takes this as an invitation to come snuggle with her instead, so they don't have to share a single pair of human hands with their littermates. They make a polite little squeak as they leap up into the navigator's lap. Zoe obliges and sets about lightly stroking the kitten's head. I want her to be safe, Zoe. I know what could happen if we don't get one of the planets to cooperate and grant her citizenship. And she deserves to be treated as a proper person now that we know she is one. Dr. Salzar Neumann sighs, still staring up at the ceiling. Especially since Bernie wants to do something more with her life than be Venture's little feathered curiosity. I have faith in you, Airy. You'll sort it out. The door chimes. Enter, calls Zoe. A gray-haired old man with an unusually large number of freckles comes in, Bernadette contentedly riding on his shoulder. This is Venture's captain, one Gunther Hahnemann. Since being formally introduced to the newest sapient life form on his ship, the man has developed a marked fondness for the bird, treating her more as a protege than in the somewhat grandfatherly way he does Navy's kittens.
Ah,
says the captain, eyeing Dr. Salzar Neumann's posture with no small amusement.
It seems your mother has received the news Lieutenant Timms mentioned to us, Miss Chirps.
Bernadette flies down to land on her forehead and looks curiously into her eyes.
Did the paperwork attack you again, Mother?
Oh, it did, Bernie. But don't worry, I'll be ready to tilt at windmills again tomorrow.
Windmills?
Repeats the turquoise-patched kitten sitting in Zoe's lap. They and their siblings have started to pick up words here and there now, although none of them have yet taken on full sentences. Well, that answers the question of what story I'm asking Hans to read the three of you the next time he's kitten-sitting, says Zoe with a chuckle. Have a seat if you like, Captain. Navy's still getting changed for their council meeting.
Ah, yes, that's today, isn't it? I feel like they said something about that earlier.
The old man takes a seat in one of the chairs near the couch and shakes his head, looking back down to the woman lying on the floor with two kittens curled up on her chest and a rather concerned-looking budgerigar perched on her forehead.
I've given Lieutenant Timms a few more of my strings from the old days he might be able to pull for you, Ariadne, but I don't know yet if anything will come of them.
Oh, Zoe raises an eyebrow. And here I thought we were running out of favors to try calling in.
You'd be surprised, the people I know who've ended up in admin back on Mars.
The captain chuckles.
Besides, Venture's registered there. Hopefully that'll be a point in our favor.
I'm sorry all of this has become such a hassle,
Bernadette says, stretching her wings and then flying up to perch on the little stand that's been added to the center of the coffee table for her. The hassle's worth it, Bernie, Dr. Salzar Neumann replies, still staring upwards and lightly stroking the kittens who have snuggled up together on top of her. Don't worry about it. At this point in the conversation, Navy emerges, dressed in several layers of flowing salmon-pink silk robes. A matching beaded headdress is set behind their large cat-like ears, with veils which hang down their back and obscure most of their intricately braided silver hair. They have beaded bangles glittering on each of their wrists, as well as an ornate necklace in the same style. The kittens immediately take notice of their parents' reappearance, as well as the sparkle given off by their jewelry. They scamper over and hop up into Navy's arms to inspect the unfamiliar and fascinating outfit.
Nita,
the three of them say, one on top of the other, in between all of their other excited kittens squeaking.
Shiny!
Yes, kittens, says Navy, laughing as they try to both catch and settle down the kittens who are climbing all over them. I know I'm all shiny today. Please don't undress me. I'll let you play with my bangles later once I'm done wearing them. The three humans share a chuckle watching this. Bernadette, ever the clever bird, flies up to the top of the bookcase where she knows the kittens have a cache of toys. She pulls a particularly bright-colored ball out of the hiding place, picks it up with her beak, and shakes it. The small bell inside the woven cloth and wire cage of the ball jingles brightly.
Look, kittens, I found a shiny thing. Come play with me.
The kittens are scampering after the ball before Bernadette even finishes tossing it down from her perch. They happily take up their current favorite game, fetch the jingle ball, and then chase the bird as she flies around the room carrying it until she drops it again. Thank you, Bernadette. Navy laughs again at the sight and goes over to the couch to sit beside their navigator. They smooth out their robes and look down at the floor where the kittens are making a point of scampering around Dr. Salzar Newman rather than over the top of her. I see you're still in a dramatic mood, Airy. Not really, but getting up takes too much effort. She half raises her head off the floor to look at them. You look nice, by the way. You should wear the silks more often. Thank you. I do like them, you know, but they're better suited to special occasions. Navy shakes their head. Trying to run jumps dressed like this is just asking for trouble. The captain smiles fondly.
And here I remember when you were still complaining about your hair ribbons getting in the way all the time.
Oh, now, don't go making us all feel old, Captain. Zoe laughs and reaches over to help Navy get the last of the bead strands in their headdress sorted out from having been rearranged by the kittens.
That can't have been all that long ago, can it?
The old man asks. I was named an elder 5 years after we joined your crew, Navy replies. And these little ones are my third litter. It was a while ago, to say the least. Before anyone responds, the door chimes again and then opens. Cobalt and Ciel walk in, each wearing a long silk tunic with embroidered sleeves and loose-cut trousers rather than their uniforms or usual sorts of casual clothing. Cobalt's outfit is shaded in amber, while Ciel's is in sunset yellow and includes a long, tasseled shawl draped over their upper shoulders. Well, it took us a while to get sorted out, but here we are, Ciel grins. Lucky for Cobalt here, I was able to fix the sleeves to actually fit them in the end, although if they hit any more of a growth spurt, we'll have to see about getting them a new formal outfit altogether. I'll keep that in mind, says Navy, standing. But you both look nice, all cleaned up. Remind me to take a picture once we're done with the council to send to Cerulean. Will do. Ciel nods and waves to Bernadette as she flies past them, followed closely by the kittens. Better pass that off to someone else, Bernadette. You wouldn't want to be late now, would you?
Late?
Bernadette asks, changing course to deposit the ball in the captain's outstretched hand so he can take up the task of kitten distracting. That done, she flutters over and lands in her usual place on Cobalt's shoulder and tilts her head curiously at Ciel and Navy.
Late for what?
The council has requested you, Navy answers.
They have?
They have? Dr. Salzar Newman echoes. She sits up now, looking somewhat startled. They've all heard enough about Bernadette that they want to meet her. It's a good thing, Ariadne. Trust me. Navy stops beside Dr. Salzar Newman long enough to bend down and give her the same sort of reassuring pat on the head they so often give their kittens, and then heads for the door. I'll ping you all when the session's over. Ciel and Cobalt follow them out into the corridor, Bernadette still perched on her sibling's shoulder.
Well now,
says the captain after the door closes, pausing to toss the ball for the kittens to chase and retrieve.
That's what I'd call an interesting development.
It is, says Zoe. And if Navy's not even mentioned it to me before now, it must be something particularly interesting that they're scheming. If nothing else, they're probably going to bring her back with one of the eldest's lectures on personal safety to recite for me, Dr. Salzar Newman sighs, but in a half-joking manner.
I didn't realize they still did that every time Navy attended a meeting.
The captain raises an eyebrow, then turns his attention to the lavender-patched kitten who's just won the race to fetch the ball back to him to praise them appropriately before tossing it back to the other side of the room. Not every time? Although since I started Bernadette's project, they've been checking in more often than they used to. They do care about you, you know, love, Zoe says, patting the seat on the couch beside her. Now, let's say you come up off of the floor before the kittens trample you. It's a comfortable floor, Dr. Salzar Newman replies in mock protest. After a momentary exchange of amused looks with her spouse, she laughs and moves to the offered seat. Zoe sets an arm around her, then looks to the captain and raises an eyebrow. So, sir, she asks, what sort of Martian strings did you say you were trying to pull? I know you well enough to know you've got a story to go with them that you're just waiting to have a chance to tell us. The old man laughs, still at his game of kitten fetch.
Am I really that predictable?
It's a good sort of predictable, says Zoe. And the kittens usually fall asleep when we tell them stories, so...
So you'd be obliged if I got the little darlings to think it's nap time so you don't wind up having to chase them all over the ship until Navy gets back to settle them, naturally?
Naturally. It would be a good distraction for all of us, Dr. Salzar Newman admits.
Well then, who am I to say no to a chance to spin tails for my smallest crew members?
The captain grins and makes himself comfortable, tossing the ball back and forth between his hands a few times to entice the kittens to come up onto the armrests of his chair.
So, back when I first started piloting desert racers at Hellas Planitia...
Chapter 17. Now, Bernadette, says Navy, do you remember what I taught you about being polite when it's time for the council to meet you?
Yes, Navy, I remember.
Bernadette nods from her perch on Kobe's shoulder. They've told her all of the protocols for how to address people and behave in front of the gathering of Florvan elders at least 5 times now. Although granted, Navy has mainly been trying to teach the kittens all of that, since the 3 of them will soon have lost enough of their soft coating of silver fur to be presented to the elders themselves and given their public names. Good. They all already know about you, of course, but I'd like you to make a good impression. Bernadette makes a good impression on just about everyone, though, Kobe points out, absently adjusting the sleeves on their tunic. They've seemed nervous ever since Navy first said they'd be coming to this meeting, too, although Bernadette hasn't had a chance to ask them why. Ah, and here's your first chance to prove it, too, Bernadette, says Ciel quietly, flicking their ears towards the door of the small conference room the 4 of them have been waiting in. A Florvan, dressed in robes like Navy's, enters, walking with the aid of a deeply carved wooden cane. They're a very pale greenish-blue color under all of the layers of amber, and have some sort of dark protective lens band wrapped around their face, which completely hides their lower 2 eyes and another lighter-shaded round lens over the 3rd one. Bernadette's own keen eyes pick out the traces of scars peeking out from beneath the various lenses, even though the combination of the Florvan's skin tone and silver stripe patterning would likely make it more difficult for anyone else to spot these from a distance. Ah, says the new Florvan with a wide smile, I managed not to be the last one here after all. Guermian just sent me a ping that they're running late because 2 of their kittens found their way into Tenacity's aft hydroponics bay and still haven't been coaxed out of hiding. They said they'll be here when they get here, but that there's no need to make the rest of the council wait. Navy chuckles knowingly and approaches the newcomer, exchanging a warm embrace with them. It's good to see you, though, old friend, and not just as a relay hologram. Likewise, Navy. It's been too long. I'm glad there's even three of us going to be in the same room physically for this. I spend far too many of these meetings all cooped up by myself listening to the proceedings in my quarters anymore. They sigh in a way that sounds far away for a moment and then pitch their voice similarly. And to think I spent so much time when I was youngest complaining about spending all of my time in a council hall full of people.
You've said.
Navy gives one of the other Florvin's hands a squeeze as the hug ends. But what was it you used to tell me when I was first named an elder? We survive, and thus we have meetings. The other Florvin chuckles and nods. Something like that, yes. They turn to Ciel now. And goodness, it's been years since I've encountered you in person, too, Ciel. Not since you were a little fuzzy thing and Cloud was presenting you and your littermates, at least. Ciel laughs and also exchanges a hug with the new Florvin. And then your Anita's navigators had to chase the five of us all over Luna Orbital because we escaped from them while y'all were busy with the rest of the council meeting. I remember the story. Bernadette has come to the conclusion that this must be one of the elders Navy had mentioned would be joining them, although since they hadn't mentioned any names, she's not sure which one. The amber-robed elder reaches up and ruffles Ciel's hair, then turns and comes over to Kobe and Bernadette. I'm glad to hear you're doing well, Meriday, they say, making no move to hug Bernadette's sibling the way they had Navy and Ciel. I've been worried for you. I'm better now, Anita, and I'm sorry I wasn't able to talk to you before for so long. Kobe hesitates, then extends one of their upper hands to the elder. I did want to, I think I understand, Meriday. The elder takes Kobe's hand lightly in their own upper pair for a moment and pats it gently before letting go. I'd like a chance to spend some time with you while both our ships are in the same place for once, though, if you're up for that. No talk of the past required unless you want to drag out bits of mine. Kobe smiles and gives them a bit of a nod. I'd like that, Anita. The elder nods in return and then tilts their head to one side and flips up the lens covering their third eye and focuses it towards Kobe's shoulder, squinting for a moment. And this lovely little person with the shiny feathers must be Miss Bernadette?
I am, Elder,
Bernadette replies, bobbing her head politely.
It is my pleasure to meet you.
Oh, likewise. The Elder grins and flips the lens over their third eye back down. I look forward to getting to know you as well. They hold out one of their upper hands to her. Bernadette accepts the offered perch and does her best to land as gently on their wrist as she can. And although I'm sure someone told you who all you'd be meeting today, I do feel you deserve a proper introduction. I'm called Celadon Torrival. I'm the elder whose line your friend Cobalt is part of. You don't have to use my title outside of the council proceedings. Although again, I'm sure Navy's explained to you how our etiquette works.
They have, Elder Celadon,
Bernadette replies.
Although no one mentioned I'd get to meet my sibling's grandparent in person today.
Is that a fact? Elder Celadon looks over to Navy with a half-chuckle. It must have slipped all of our minds at once with the day we've had. But to be fair, Celadon, if we didn't become the first of our own lines upon being named as elders, half the council would fall under your household still. Yes, even though Lapis is the only one of you who had the dubious luck to grow up with me for a parent. Elder Celadon says this in a way that indicates it's part of a joke that they've had for a long time, although there's just the barest hint of sadness lurking underneath their wind-chime-toned voice. A melody sounds from both Navy and Elder Celadon's pocket comms at the same time. Ah, says Navy, that'll be our cue to call in. Ciel, Cobalt, will you please take Bernadette and wait outside until we call for you? Yes, Elder, says Ciel with a nod and a formal tone. Once the three of them are sitting on the bench outside the conference room door, Bernadette looks between Kobe and Ciel with a curious tilt of her head.
I take it this is the part where we wait.
It is, Ciel replies. Lucky for us, too. The elders have a lot of formalities they have to go through at the beginning of an annual meeting like this, where everyone's calling in over the relays at the same time instead of just the smaller portions meeting with the eldest and youngest for ordinary business. They pause, thoughtfully. Well, and Elder Celadon, but that's mostly because they're still the fleet's elder, even though they retired after the war, and the other elders like it better that they're always part of things. Bernadette fluffs out her wing feathers and begins preening them.
So they're someone important?
She asks, not certain of the context of everything Ciel is saying. Sort of, Kobe replies, absently. But they pretend that they're not most of the time because they like things better that way. They shrug and readjust the cuff of one of their tunic sleeves again.
I will keep that in mind.
Another question surfaces now.
And they're here alone, even though both of you came with Navy?
Technically, Ciel answers. The two of us are here for you, Bernadette. Normally, Navy does all of their council stuff alone, you know, and then they pass things on to us and the various members of their line. They stifle a laugh. It's a bit different for me serving as secondary on a ship with a resident elder. Most people only get their council news from the head of their family. I get to have mine straight from Navy, and then again when Nita gets around to calling me and letting me know the parts they think are important. Bernadette now notices how quiet her sibling has gotten. She reaches up with her beak to lightly tug at one of the stray strands of hair that's fallen out of the side braids they've attempted to tame the unevenly grown-out silver mop with and catch their attention. Hmm?
I meant to ask if there was a reason both of you got to come with me. I know the etiquette, but Navy didn't mention much about your roles.
Ah, right, they've been doing the elder thing all day and making a point of being secretive. Well, I'm here representing Dr. S because I was involved with the experiment, and the committee Elder Navy's been talking to about you has already talked to her about what happened. And humans aren't allowed in full council meetings like this one unless something really important is going on. And I'm here, Ciel adds, because Navy has to stand as the elder overseeing this situation, and Cobalt here isn't an adult yet, and someone has to present you.
I suppose that does make sense.
I'm just glad I'm not the one all of the elders are gossiping about anymore, Kobe says, barely more than a whisper. Ciel gives them a particularly knowing look. I'm also here for you today, if you need me. I know. Thank you. Bernadette doesn't know what the two of them are talking about, but she assumes it's something to do with the way her sibling sometimes gets overwhelmed with things, which means there's not much for her to say on the subject, so she settles for giving Kobe's cool silver-striped cheek a little nudge with her head as a way of saying she is also there to support them.
And that's where we'll leave our story for this week. I hope you've enjoyed these latest chapters of Feathered Friendship. Next week, I'll be reading the final three chapters of the book and bringing our dear little bird's story to a close. Now, for our first special announcement, next weekend, when our final story episode of the season drops on Saturday, March 1st, I will be in Jackson, Tennessee, for the Jackson Comic Expo. If you're in the area and enjoy friendly regional comic and fandom events, do stop by the Jackson Comic Expo and be sure to come by my table and say hi. You can't miss me. I'm the one with all of the Galaxy tablecloths and Feathered Friendships cover displayed proudly behind the table. I'll have copies of both Feathered Friendship and all of my other Strange Space books available, as well as a host of other book merch and a selection of my lead-free stained glass sun catchers. Of course, if you can't make it to Jackson to see me this time, I do have all of the shiny things available in my website store. There's also a calendar of my other upcoming events if you'd like to see where else you can meet me and acquire signed copies of my books this year. The links for all of that are in the show notes. Our second special announcement is that next Saturday's episode is not the final episode of the season. There'll be a special Q&A episode the following week featuring questions from you, the listeners, members of the Strange Space fan club, and some of the folks I'll be meeting in Jackson. I'm excited to get to talk to you about some of the behind-the-scenes things that go into my work. Email me your questions with strangespaceadventuresQ&A in the subject line to have them included in my question pool. If I don't have time to answer all of them in this season's Q&A, don't worry, I'll keep them for a future Q&A episode. As always, if you've enjoyed the show, please leave a comment or review on your podcast source of choice. Reviews and recommendations are the best way to help grow the show so I can continue bringing you more and better stories each week. Be sure to subscribe, too, so you don't miss the next episode. If you'd like to support this podcast and all of my other ongoing projects in the Strange Space universe, you can join the Strange Space Fan Club. It's free to join and gets you access to perks like the Strange Space Encyclopedia, chapter transcripts, and the official fan club newsletter. At higher tiers, you can also access the full archive of Strange Space stories on my website, receive exclusive fan club merch, and more. You'll find the link to join in the show notes. Thank you so much to all of my existing fan club members, especially Astral Navigator tier member Sharon T. Hinton and long-running space adventurer Tabitha. I am deeply grateful to all of my fan club members for making this podcast possible. Thanks again for joining me today on the Strange Space Adventures podcast. I hope your week ahead is filled with opportunities and joy. This is Katie Silverwings, wishing you the best the galaxy has to offer. Stay shiny!
The Strange Space Adventures podcast is brought to you by Pep Talk Productions, LLC. Strange Space is a trademark of Katie Silverwings, LLC, and all content of this podcast is copyright 2025 to Katie Silverwings. For more information on Katie Silverwings, Strange Space Adventures, and this season's story, visit www.katiesilverwings.com.